Good morning, family and friends of Alamo United Methodist Church. That is, Alamo, the place to be on Sunday mornings. For anyone who has found us on their radio at FM 96.9 in San Antonio, our sanctuary is located at 4071 North Foster Road. For anyone who is looking for a new church home or just one to visit, come and worship with us any Sunday morning at 10:30. Everyone is welcome. This morning's opening scripture is taken from Psalm 22 of the original King James Version of our Bible. Listen for God's word in this reading. My praise shall be of you in the great assembly. I will pay my vows before those who fear you. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him will praise the Lord. Let your heart live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn to him. And all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth shall eat and worship. All those will go down to the dust shall bow before him, even he who cannot keep himself alive. A posterity shall serve him. It will be recounted of the Lord to the next generation. They will come and declare his righteousness to a people who will be born, that he has done this. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this blessed opportunity to come before you, Lord, to worship and to give you praise for all that you've done. Lord, we praise you for your wonderful work that you do on this earth. We praise you, Lord, for the works that you do in this church. We praise you, Lord, for the blessings that you give us. We praise you, Lord, for the rain. We praise you, Lord, for the sunshine. We praise you, Lord, for the times that we go through that are hard, because we know that those times will build up trust and faith in us in you. And most of all, we praise you and thank you for your blessed Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, our hope, the only hope that we have. Thank you, Lord. Be with us as we continue in our worship. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good morning. Would you stand, please? You don't have to go anywhere. I just want you to stand. Look around. Look around to the left. Look to the right. Look behind you. Look in front of you. Okay? Now, you see who's here and you see who's not here, right? Now you don't have to worry about it, right? Now you can concentrate on the Lord. Let's all wave to each other and say hello this morning. Amen. Amen. And you know, amen. And you know what else we ought to do? Let's give the Lord a shout of praise. Just holler, praise, thank you, Lord. Praise, thank you, Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you for the simple truth that impacts our lives, that two are better than one. What a privilege we have as the body of Christ to support and encourage one another in the work that you have given us to do. Give me grace and wisdom to hold the things of this world lightly and to consider the needs of others before my own. Unite your people together in the bond of peace, and may we be a living testimony of the goodness and grace of God, and work together for furtherance of the gospel. This I ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Would you stand for our opening hymn? My hope is built. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath is covered. Support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all but hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Congregation, please be seated.
But Lord, with your help, we can give a portion of our gift back to you. And we pray, Lord, that the gift we give is sufficient for your use of it. Be with us this day and always, Lord Jesus, as we give from our gift back to you. In your name we pray.
everyone. Today's scripture reading is Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12, and 1 Corinthians 12 through 20. Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up, but pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Unity and diversity in the body. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but it's many parts from one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am a foot, not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Let us pray together as it comes time for Pastor Ted to bring us his message. And Heavenly Father, give us the intelligence and the wherewithal to listen to his message, learn of it, and take it to our communities as we leave here today. And Heavenly Father, we ask that Ted give you exactly as you have asked him, and give us the guidance to do as you would have us do with him. In your holy name we pray.
Come on, over here. Over here. This way. Come on. Over here. We're going to do something special. Good morning. All right, today we're talking about Ecclesiastes. And that the community and friends, it's two are better than one, and three are even better than two, right? So it means that we have friends and we do different things. So today I wanted to demonstrate it with, this is my husband, Alan, and I'm going to give him a task, okay? I'm going to task him to keep all of these balloons that I have in this bag in the air. Do you think he's going to be able to do this? Let's see, okay? I'm going to start giving it to him, and he's going to start trying to hold them. Get them all in the air.
Oh, come on. You can do better than that. Come on.
Okay, so he thinks he needs help. And so let's see if we do this. God told us that two or three are better than one. So let's see. Pick up a balloon if you find one, and let's try to keep them all in the air. Here's some over here. He needs a little help. Let's help him. There's one way back here. It's in your legs. Okay, can we keep them all in the air? Let's see. Look, we can. We're all, and even the community is helping us and the congregation. Awesome. Yes. So that's what we're talking about. Okay, we can hold on for a second. All right, so that's what we're talking about. Was it easier for him to have help when he had help to keep them all up in the air? It was, right? All right. So, it says two are better than one because they have a good return in their labor. So it says if you fall down, that you it would be a pity if somebody wasn't there to help you pick you up, right? All right. So that's what we have. So I have friendship bracelets here, and I want to give everybody a friendship bracelet because everybody in the community is friends, right, in the church. So you could take one and pass it down. Here we go. I think there's enough. How many is there? Here we go. If you don't want, you can just pass it down. All right. So that's a reminder that we have, that you always will have a friend, right? Sometimes it's hard. We have friend problems, but let's say a prayer. Dear Lord, thank you.
And deepen my walk with you. Amen.
Thank you, Heather. Thank you, children. Thank you so much for that teaching. Good morning. I noticed something about that one of those little ones there. She's new. She did something that a lot of adults won't do. She was introducing herself to the rest of the folks. Isn't that something? I thought that was pretty interesting because some of us, we won't do that. We just kind of let... But these kids, you know, they have... Their minds are pure and they're fresh. Amen? And I tell you, we have to be careful what we teach them so that if we want to teach them the right thing. Teach them the ways of Jesus. Well, our title this morning is Moving Forward Together. Moving Forward Together. Or Walking Together in Unity. Now, in our Following Jesus series, the first thing we talked about that he wants to be close to us. He wants to be close to us so that he can help us through our issues. And the other part was about how God's word was living and active in our life and how important it was for us to study God's word. Now today, we're going to do part three of this series about moving forward together to follow Jesus, to be the church that he wants us to be. It must be done in unity. Jesus wants us to be on one accord when we serve him. So let's look to God's word to see how we can accomplish this great task. One of the first things that we have to do is we've got to understand the concept of the fact that two is better than one. In Ecclesiastes, the writer brings this out pretty clear in chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. But I want to give you this demonstration about how two is better than one was impressed upon me. When I was in the Navy, we went to a lot of foreign ports. In fact, it didn't matter what port we went to. One of the things the old man, he would not budge on this. He said, if you want to go on Liberty off of this ship, you will not go by yourself. You must go with a friend or a buddy. Somebody had to go with you. And the reason for this, he said, so that we could protect each other. He was using this concept in Ecclesiastes that Solomon wrote about, that two is better than one. You know, so he was trying to protect us. And it would be good if we remember this, as the body of Christ, it's always better for two. Two people. And Ecclesiastes said two is better than one because one can help the other. And something else he said also, he said, as you go along, you might get attacked. Something might happen to you. Two is better to stave off the attackers. So this concept of two is better than one works great with the body of Christ. And it works that way because in 1 Corinthians 12 through 20, the Apostle Paul writes a letter to the church at Corinth about unity and diversity. And one of some of the things that he emphasized in these verses is that we must be about the Lord's business, but we have to do it together. Now, why is that? Why does Jesus want us to do things together? And Paul explains this by explaining that the church is like the human body. We need each other. You cannot do without one of your parts. You need all those parts working together. If one part in that body suffers, the whole body suffers. And you can't also say, well, I don't need an ear, and I don't need my hand. Or you need all those parts to make it efficient, to do what needs to be done. That's the same way that Paul uses that comparison for the body of Christ, the church. Folks, whether you want to believe this or not, we need each other. We need each other. We need each other to move forward. To move forward in what we have to do. Our mission is
to go out and tell others about Christ and to take the message of the gospel to a lost and dying world, to help those that are in need, to feed the hungry, to be kind and humble to everyone that we meet. And the reason why that is that's the way our Lord was. That's the way he was. And Paul tells us that we must be about peace in our lives. We must be about walking together so that we can be in peace. And in Ephesians chapter 4, in those verses, I believe it's verses 1 through 6, Paul talks about the unity and how we are to be together and how we need to have the peace that comes from God to keep pushing our mission forward. You know what, folks? The unbelievers of this world, they're looking at you and they want to know. They're not looking at the size of your church. They're not looking at the makeup of it, who's who and what's what. They're looking at if you, whatever you're doing, are you doing it together? Whatever is going on, are you doing it in unison? You're not trying to go off by yourself and do it. You're doing it together. And that is so very, very important for the body of Christ. It must be done together. You know, no man is an island. No one walks alone. Jesus wants us to be together, to work together, to push harder together. The things that we do here, we should do it together. And to do this, there are some certain things that we've got to do. First of all, we got to be more like Jesus. We've got to humble ourselves. We've got to have a mind of peace. We've got to be patient with one another. One of the things that I've learned in 52 years of marriage is patience. Patience, patience, patience. Somebody asked me yesterday how long had I been married? And I told them 52 years. They had been married 1 year. And they said, "What's your secret?" I said, "There's no secret. There's no secret about it. You've got to do things together, you know." And one of the things that helps me and Tessie, we don't go to bed mad. I won't go to bed now. I may go out in the garage and sulk and, you know, throw things around and get mad and, you know. But eventually, I'll come to myself. And then I'll say, "Hun, let's move on from this." Now, she don't pay me no attention, so I don't have to worry about that, you know. So, and one of the other things I've learned in my marriage is this. I've learned is this. You got to do things together. That's so very important. Church, we have to learn to do things together. We have to do that. That's the way Jesus wants us to be. And he said this in John. John chapter 17, he says, I am the vine, I believe, and you are the branches. You know, you can do nothing without me. If you want to walk in unity, you've got to walk with Christ. Amen? If you want to do the things that God wants you to do, you've got to walk in Jesus. If you want the world to make a difference where you are in the world, in your community, you've got to walk with Jesus. I want you, you know, when you get home, look at these verses and study them. Spend some time on them. This Ephesians chapter 4, the whole chapter. Read the whole chapter. And then you will see just how much God wants you to walk in unity together. I don't have time to go through the whole chapter, but I wish I did, because it's awesome teaching. And you can learn a whole lot. Walk together. Pray together. Read your Bible together. You know, if one hurts, everyone hurts. If one is joyous, everyone should rejoice. There are many members in this body. A lot of us. We all have different gifts, but there's only one body. Just one. There are many members of this body, but there's only one baptism. One baptism. And there's many members in this body, but there's only one Lord. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. It doesn't matter how many you got. You only got one body. And you only have one head of the body. Does anybody know who that is? Jesus. Jesus. The body of Christ follows Jesus, his teachings. Please remember that, because there's going to come a time when you're going to have to stand on that, and I'm going to have to stand on that also. We follow Jesus. Whatever he says do, that's what we do. If he says love one another, then we love one another. He says that we ought to have patience and kindness with one another, then that's what we'll do. One of the worst things I suppose could happen to a church is that it dies. And it dies not because of members, not because of money, not because, you know, no people stop. It dies because they stop following Jesus. Listen to me this morning, and I'm going to close. Okay? You know, it doesn't take a whole bunch of people to do anything for the Lord. Amen? It doesn't. It only takes you, all of you, me, and everybody else. What I'm saying is, we don't have to have a great numbers to do God's work here. We can do what we have, and we can make a difference in this community. We can make a difference in this world, and we can introduce people to the kingdom of heaven, and we can show them that this is the way to go. I tell you, the world is in such upheaval now till nobody knows what to do anymore. But you know what to do. You know what to do. You know who to trust. You know who to run to. You run to Jesus. Don't be afraid of what's happening. The Lord said this was coming. He says they're going to hate you. They hated me, and they're going to hate you too. There's going to come a time when people are not going to want to hear good teaching. They have itching ears, and they want to hear a nice, sweet story. They're not going to want to hear about the gospel, the fact that Jesus died for our sins and that he rose again. It's very important for us to remember that no matter what happens, no matter what comes down the pipe, no matter what they say or what they do, if we are the body of Christ, which we are, we must hold on to Jesus. We must hold on to him. And it may come a time when you may have to serve him by yourself. I don't know. Folks may fall away from you, but you got to keep serving him. You got to keep serving him. Let me close with this verse. And it's a wonderful verse. And it comes from John. John, I believe, chapter 17. And this is our Lord talking. He's talking to his disciples. This is what he says. And he's asking his heavenly Father to pray, to help those that he's leaving behind. This is John 17, starting at verse 20. He says, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me." Jesus wants us to be unified, walking together in love, so that the world will see and that they may believe. Oh, I tell you today, folks, would you be willing to walk together today in unity? Are you willing to put pride aside and other things and grab a hold to the Lord's hand and grab a hold to another member of the body of Christ and say, "Yes, Lord, we're going to go and do this together"? Oh, I hope and pray that you do. Because you know what, folks? We can't move forward without Jesus. You can have everything else, but if you try to move forward without the Lord, you're going nowhere. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. As we prepare for the invitation this morning, Jesus wants us to walk together in unity. But before we can walk together in unity, I want to give the invitation to anyone that may have something on their heart. that may prevent them from walking in unity with the Lord. Maybe there's something in your life that you've been holding on to, a problem, an issue, dare I say a sin, that maybe it just won't go away. Maybe you, perhaps you need to come to the altar and say, yes, Lord, I'm tired of banging my head against the wall. The altar is open for anyone who wishes to come and pray, who wishes to come and just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for all you've done. The altar is open for anyone, especially those that may not know who Jesus is. They may have only heard about him. The altar is open for all who wish to come. Would you please stand?
Our invitation is, what a friend we have in Jesus.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Oh, because we do not care.
Help, I can even make it coherent. What beautiful messages we have heard here today. Teach them the way to Jesus. What more powerful do we have for a message to our children? Always work together with your friends. And if you don't have enough friends, none of us do, make a new one. Make two new ones, whatever. Be friendly with everyone. Always. And remember, in anything, we heard about the buddy system in the Navy. Well, the difference with the buddy system in the Navy is you don't get off the ship unless you've got a unless you got it anchored and you can get back to it. The buddy system in the Army is be sure you can get back to where you need to be. It's the same as it is in everything. But always, always, two is better than one. And if you have a friend that is not really a Christian, share with them. Because with Jesus, we are one. One in the Spirit, one in the Lord. There's no other way to be. Now please join me in the prayer Jesus taught us when he said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. And as we go from here today, let us remember those less fortunate than ourselves and continue to pray for those who are homebound or ailing in every way. Be friendly and be safe, and let us join together again next Sunday and receive the message that Ted will bring us once again. And one example of doing everything and being a part of our church is Tom is in very ill this morning, but he's here with us doing the best that he can. And I stood in for a couple of things, but I'm not a replacement, and I'm not even a good copycat. But let us say that the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.